Chapter 17. Leaving the Blue Ridge Pride wouldn't have been so hard if it hadn't been so easy to become a part of it. By the time they were tasting mid-July, Jared was so comfortable in his new life that he hadn't even noticed he'd been there for a month. At first, every day nagged at him, reminding him that this was only temporary, that he had to go soon. But then that day would pass into warm night, and soon enough he'd be bedding down on his lump of blankets and pillows, Tristan curling up against his belly. Jared would convince himself that tomorrow would be the day, and before he knew it, tomorrow would come, and he'd put off leaving for the next day. He no longer had the excuse of recovery. 2 weeks of solid eating and regular rest, and he could safely say he was looking better than he had in weeks, maybe months, maybe 2 years. He couldn't help but recognize that it wasn't just the food and sleep that was doing him good. For the first time in 2 years, he had more than just a book for companionship. He woke up to Tristan and Julie and the other cubs, watched Julie herd them all outside and set them to play. He'd watch them run around and mewl at Julie until she capitulated, laying down to let them nurse. Misha would return home from early patrol and collapse for a few hours, ignoring whichever of his kittens decided to chew on his ear while he got some shut-eye. The two cats hosting him, however, were far from his only friends here. Adrian came by often enough, and even dragged him to the cove a few times, where he ended up meeting more fertiles than he could remember all the names for, Cassette more often than not amongst them, eager to spend time with Tristan. Jeff was usually there, guarding his post, but Jared rarely got a chance to talk to him, the big black cat not seeming one for much chit-chat, despite the fact that Jared often saw other, less easily intimidated fertiles talking his ear off. More of a listener, it turned out. The cove was always the perfect temperature, cool in the shade when the sun was high, and warm in the evenings when the light dragged out, and there were always other fertiles around, lazing about napping or talking with one another, kittens and cubs of various ages left to play in safety, watched over by whoever was closest. One, in particular, stood out to him. It was a fertile named Clayton, who'd given birth to a litter of 5 that spring. Jared had met other male fertiles over the past couple of weeks, but it was Clayton in particular that interested him. He couldn't help but envy the casual way the other werecat would settle into the cove, his kittens curled up with him or playing, occasionally coming back to nurse. "You can pick them up, you know," Clayton had finally remarked one day, apparently becoming sick of Jared just staring at him. Jared flushed a little, not realizing he'd been quite so obvious.
Sorry.
Don't be. They're pretty cute. I can't deny it. Clayton was laying on his side, eyes shut, and Jared was reminded of the old saying about mothers having eyes on the backs of their heads. Jared was sitting nearby, having walked out there in his human form for a change. He'd regretted that a little when he'd had to make his way over the ridge, edging along the path with his heart in his throat. But some days he just felt like walking upright.
"So?"
Clayton asked, surprising Jared again. The other Ailur rolled over onto his stomach, lifting his head from the ground, 4 legs extended as he blinked lazily over at Jared. The kittens under him scrambled away, squeaking their protests.
"What is it that you've been wanting to ask me?"
"I don't have anything in particular."
"You've been watching me for the last few days, you know. You're not subtle."
"Yeah, no, I get that," Jared mumbled, flushing a little deeper. "But I still don't have anything in particular."
"Why me? Don't get me wrong, I'm flattered, but it seems like whatever you're curious about could as easily be answered by Adrian, or Julie, or Jeff, for that matter."
It had taken him a while to get used to it, given how massive and burly the beta looked. But it turned out that Jeff kind of bridged the divide between the fertiles and the dominants. Even though he looked like a linebacker of a cat, he was kind of thought of as an honorary fertile, which would have been hilarious if he didn't still find Jeff a bit terrifying. "You're a guy," Jared finally admitted stiffly, a little embarrassed to even talk about it. He was aware how insulting the conversation could be to Clayton. After all, when Jared called himself a freak, he was, unavoidably, calling all male fertiles freaks as well. He was also aware that none of the Aelur could understand his problems when it came to this. "Yes," Clayton said, a hint of a question there, obviously not certain where Jared was going with this. "So, what do your kids call you?" "They don't call me anything at the moment. I get little bursts of feelings or thoughts from them, but they won't start using language for a few more months yet." "Yeah, but what will they call you?"
"Mother, Mama, I'm not sure yet. I'm not going to pick out a particular permutation for them to use, if that's what you're asking. Any of them are fine."
"No, but I mean, you're a guy."
"I still don't understand."
"You're a guy and you're a mom. How do you do that?"
"How do I not?" Clayton shook his head a little. "I am unavoidably both. One of them is how I was born. The other is at the core of me. I'm afraid I'm still missing whatever it is that you're getting at."
"For me, for humans, only women are moms. If you're a guy, you're a dad."
"But I'm not their dad, their father. I gave birth to them."
"So, you think that giving birth is what makes you a mother?" Jared asked, picking at his nails and studiously staring at them, biting at his lower lip. For some reason, that made him think of Tristan, and his stomach churned.
"I think that being a mother makes you a mother," Clayton answered, but that answered nothing.
"Yeah, thanks," was all Jared could say, putting his hands down to get up and glancing at one of Clayton's kittens, which was sniffing at him. He paused, letting the cub inspect, and reached over to rub its little head before pushing himself to his feet. It wasn't like he didn't get it, at least to an extent. He could see it and understand it and accept it as normal in this strange other world. But he still couldn't apply it to himself, somehow, as if he were still different, as if he were still human, as if he'd ever been. It wasn't something he talked about much anymore, and even with Clayton, he'd walked out before the conversation could go too far. It was pretty clear that it was just one of those things that was different between the culture of the Pride and the culture that Jared had been raised in, and he could never quite explain it to them that it didn't matter that he'd always been an Aelur, and it didn't matter that it was normal for males to have children. It just didn't matter to Jared that to them, in their eyes, his body was normal. Jared's eyes were irrevocably human, and what he saw was something different from them. When he watched Clayton with his cubs, he felt no disgust, no revulsion. It seemed perfectly natural, and Jared could accept it as something almost beautiful, in a National Geographic kind of way. Something that fit, that worked, for another society, another people, but just didn't work for him. Despite that, he couldn't deny that it was nice to know that no one thought of him as a freak. The fact that he had heats, that he could nurse a child, the fact that his body made itself damp and ready for a mate to carry children was a known fact to the Aelur, but to them it was as known as the river being wet or the sky being blue. It just was, and there was nothing more to it. It wasn't really something that was thought of much or mentioned, and Jared would never be able to explain to them why it was thought of for him.
He knew enough to wish he could see it that way, but he hadn't been raised on a mountainside, told the stories of the honored first fertile. He hadn't been raised to hunt and to run, to find a mate, and he'd never heard the name Salhero until a month ago. Jared came from Wyoming, from a nice little two-story house out in the middle of nowhere at the end of a long dirt road, with a nice little garden of azaleas in the front. Jared came from afternoons of watching reruns of The Dukes of Hazzard, and evenings forced to watch Jim Lehrer, with his parents, clumped together awkwardly with his brothers jostling him on the couch. Jared was too used to high school hallways and locker rooms, hanging out in the courtyard during lunch hour and poking fun at every little thing that didn't fit. Being human was an irrevocable part of who he was, but for whatever short time he would be here, he had to admit, quietly and to himself, that it was nice to have friends who knew exactly what he was and saw no shame in it. Between those friends, between Misha and Julie, Adrian, Jeff, and Auntie Cassette, there wasn't room for any kind of loneliness anymore. His days were filled with the pride, as easy to accept him as if he'd been born there, even if that threw Jared for a loop every time. And then there was Jensen. Jensen, who he'd seen every day for the last 3 weeks, watching the other cat bond with Tristan, play with Tristan, and for how bad their initial meetings had been, it was Jensen that Jared felt a strange, almost preternatural bond with. It didn't seem it from the outside. Misha was more like Jared in personality, and when the captain wasn't busy with his work, the two of them were most likely to be found playing with the cubs or making a mess in the main house while Jared tried to read from an old recipe book to Misha. And Adrian was someone Jared could talk to for hours and not get bored, covering every topic he could think of, each of them with an insatiable curiosity for each other's cultures, her wishing to know more about human society, and him more about Aelur. In comparison, Jared's times with Jensen were quiet and almost dull, the older werecat not much given to conversation, and even when he was feeling friendly, his demeanor couldn't exactly be described as warm, but that didn't seem to matter. Watching him with Tristan, as awkward and fumbling as he was, that look of near terror every time he interacted with his son, like he was going to fuck it all up massively, made Jared smile every time. It was impossible not to. Watching a cub the size of a football intimidate a werecat the size of an ATV. It took 2 weeks before that look of sheer terror faded, and Jared would remember it down to the day, the three of them down at the edge of the river, trying to convince Tristan that the water wasn't going to kill him. Jared didn't blame the kid. After all, he'd had two interactions with the river thus far. Jared screaming at him to keep him from jumping in, and the two of them almost getting swept away during their trek to find the pride. But time had passed since then, and Tristan was bigger. There was a calm section of the river, just to the west of Pride Ground, that the Aelur, both young and old, frequently used for swimming, and Jared didn't want the cub to be terrified of the water for the rest of his life, or at least the river, since Tristan didn't have difficulty rolling around in the shallow water of the stream at the cove. "Come on now," Jensen encouraged up to his shoulders in the sediment-darkened water. "See, I'm out in the river and I'm fine. You'll be fine too." Tristan gave Jensen a look that couldn't have more clearly said, "You have got to be shitting me," if he'd actually spoken the words. Jared rolled around on his back on the bank, paws in the air, laughing. "You're not helping, you know," Jensen remarked, and Jared rolled back over onto his side, eyes glinting with feline pleasure as he watched the alpha make a fool of himself. "I don't remember ever offering to help, mighty alpha." "You know, I liked it better when you just called me Jensen. When you call me Alpha, it always sounds like you don't really mean it." "Whatever would give you that idea?" Jared replied, kneading his paws through the loose rocks on the other shore.
He'd been told by one of the younger Fertiles that it was disrespectful to refer to Jensen as anything other than Alpha or Jensen Hero, whatever the hell that meant. And since then, he'd taken to adding completely unnecessary adjectives to the title, like mighty and the great and powerful. Tristan, Jensen tried again in his most reassuring voice. Trust me, nothing is going to happen to you. I promise I'll make sure you're safe. Tristan considered the proposition, edging down to the water, then reconsidered his options and scrambled back. Jared chuckled and got to his feet, strolling casually down to the water's edge.
Thought you said you weren't going to help, Jensen asked ruefully.
It's hot as balls, and the water looks nice and cool. Also, I'm throwing you a rope here, buddy, so quit your bitchin'.
Jared responded without heat as he slid into the water, and it wasn't a lie. It was pretty refreshing.
He let out a purr of contentment as the water slid through his fur, pleasantly cool against his warm skin. He could hear Tristan whine and growl in worry from the shore. Jared paddled around to face him.
Well, I'm in here now, he said to the kitten. If you want to get to me, you're going to have to get in, too.
Tristan let out a squeaky yowl in protest.
Yes, well, too bad for you.
Jared took little note of Tristan's whining, the kitten trotting up and down the bank, clearly worried that the river was going to up and drown both Jensen and Jared at any moment. Jared wasn't above a little tough love, mostly because it worked. A few minutes later, in a fit of desperation, Tristan threw himself into the water, ineffectively paddling out to the two older cats.
There you go, Jensen encouraged, swimming around to Tristan's other side so that the kitten was enclosed by the two adults, perfectly safe if he couldn't keep himself up.
All of Tristan's concentration was focused on keeping himself afloat, though, and he splashed his way out to a rock, climbing up, looking as wet and bedraggled as could be, panting a little.
Looks like you won, Jared commented, glancing over at Tristan's father.
You got him swimming. Jensen didn't reply, though. Jared blinked when he looked at the other allure. Jensen's eyes fixed solely on Tristan as the cub settled himself on the rock, taking a few seconds to get over his little panic attack. When he seemed more certain, curiosity overriding his fear, he slid cautiously down the rock towards the water, claws scraping against the stone until he fell in with a merp. He bobbed back to the surface a second later, paddling around in the shallows, a shy confidence returning to his bright teal eyes as he conquered the river. Jensen, though, looked as if he had conquered something quite different. Jared remembered that moment, set it up in his memory. It was the first moment that he could see Tristan and Jensen, the first moment that Jensen looked, without fear or hesitation, like a father, like Tristan's father, instead of some nervous outsider trying to awkwardly situate himself. Jared swallowed, glancing away when he became aware he was staring. Seeing out of the corner of his eye, Jensen leaned down to nuzzle the cub as he swam by. Jensen sitting half in and half out of the water. Further up the river, there was the cry of a red-tailed hawk, somewhere distant in the waning light of the day, the river flowing onward, unconcerned with all the life existing around it. Jared had only been here a month, but it felt like longer. It felt like those 2 years, as stretched out and long as they had seemed, existed only in a dream, or a nightmare. A brief flash of memoryless solitude, each day unremarkable, each day the same as the last and without note, until they all faded into a gray blur. Even though, at the time, it had felt like it went on forever, when Jared looked back, sitting in the pleasantly cool river, watching Jensen bond with his cub, the cub that Jared had nursed and raised, Jared found he could barely remember those 2 years. And he didn't want to. It felt, the longer he was here, that they were fading out, disappearing back to whatever hellish place they'd come from. He heard the water splash as Jensen moved, getting up and wading out to Tristan before the cub swam too deep and brought him back to shore. The alpha cat shook himself thoroughly once he was out of the water, droplets flying everywhere and making his fur stick up in all directions. He paused, noticing Jared's eyes on him, and looked at him questioningly. Jared just shook his head and smiled, breaking his reverie. He glanced down at his reflection in the water, though, the image of Jensen, framed by the dying North Carolina sun and wet fur burning with its light, still present in his mind. In the calm of the water, the cicadas loud and wild as night began to come in, Jared could admit to himself for the first time, "I don't want to leave here."